The Sand Geeks. We are the Sand Geeks.
Hello, geeks. It's Steve here from a little YouTube channel called Frags to Riches. I'm one half of this geek combo. Listen, before I get into the sponsorship thing, there's a bit of a situation. Basically, I got a message from Chris. So Chris has been away this weekend, as per usual. You know what he's like. He's always fucking travelling around, taking the family places. I'm sure they don't want to go. But anyway, I got a voice note from him, so I'm going to play this from my phone. So this is what I got from him just a little while ago.
Hello, Steve, and all the rest of the geeks. I am so, so sorry that I've not been able to make it to record today's episode. I'm stuck in Sheffield, a very snowy Sheffield. Our van was supposed to have been fixed of all its leaks, but the company who was supposed to be doing it did not fix all the leaks, so it was leaking in, so we've had to stop off at Sheffield on our way back from our trip down south from seeing my sister, and we have to get through security gates to leave the van with the company, and the gates are broken, so we've just had to wait about an hour for someone to come down and try and get the gates open. It's an hour and a half to get back home. That's my story. That's the reason why I can't record tonight. I am so, so sorry, but it is what it is, and have a good episode, and I'll be there next week. Have a week, geeks!
So, Chris has left me in the lurch. I did think about not recording one, but I've managed to get someone lined up. They're on the other line. I've not added them to the lobby yet. I've actually got Jeremy Fragrance waiting. So if you just bear with me a second, I'm going to get the sponsorship in, then I'm going to bring in Jeremy. This is crazy. We've got him last minute, so I'm quite excited. So just bear with me a second while we do the sponsorship thing. As you guys know, we are proudly sponsored by Kajal Perfumes. You can go and check those guys out at kajalperfumes.com. And don't forget, we've got a discount code. If you use the code GEEKS10, you'll get 10% off of your purchase. So, you know, what's not to like? They've got, like, stock in the UK. They've sort of shipping all over. So, yeah, go and check those guys out. Love their fragrances. And don't forget to stay tuned to the end where we give you the giveaway. Jeremy's not going to know about that, so I'm going to have to do that bit. But, yeah, I'll tell you about the giveaway, which we do over on Instagram. So,
what?
So right.
No, darling, you have to read yourself a story. No, I'm going to do the podcast. I'm late.
What's going on?
Excuse
Hello?
Me. What time is it?
Hello?
Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello? Are you there?
Okay.
Oh,
yeah, I'm here, mate.
Have you started?
I'm recording right now.
What? You started without me?
Well, I got the voice note saying you weren't going to make it, mate.
I sent you another message. I said, wait for me. I'll just be half an hour.
Oh, shit.
Anyway.
Sorry, mate. I didn't see that. Sorry.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I made it. I've just walked in through the front door after a mad day.
You know what it is? My phone's on airplane mode. I put it on airplane mode for the recording, so I wouldn't have got your message.
Okay.
Sorry, man.
Okay.
Oh, dude.
I'm just getting myself set up here.
Chris, this is a bit awkward. I sort of got someone else lined up to fill in for you.
Who?
It's only Jeremy fucking Fragrance, mate. He's on the he's in the lobby. He's on the other line.
Well, you'll have to stand him up, mate. You'll have to just tell him that the true host is here and he's not needed.
Okay. Just bear with me a second. Like, I can't add him. Just hold on a second. Right, just hold on. Yo, Jeremy, you're right, mate. Yeah. Oh, yes, power. Yes, power, mate. Excellent. Hold, just mate, stop spinning. I can't hear what you're saying. Yes, sorry, Chris is actually back now, so I don't need you, mate. We did get you on another. No, don't. I don't care if you jerked off, especially beforehand. I don't need that. Like, mate, we'll get you on another time. It's fine. We don't need you just now. Okay, so just. Yes, Pat. No, mate, I don't need to see the push-ups. Right, I'm hanging up, Jeremy, I'm hanging up. Bye. Yep, great. One on push-ups, excellent. Right,
Power!
So he's gone.
Power!
Yeah, sorry to all the Jeremy fans. You could have had a bit of Jeremy, but I made it. I made it just in time.
You did. So So you have had situation here. So there's been drama. This is we've used a bit of artistic license, but you have just basically made it in time for the recording. Is we're not messing with here, are we?
Yeah, well, I messaged you. I sent the voicemail earlier because I thought I wasn't going to get back in time. But the guy who was supposed to be coming in letting us through the gate actually arrived a little bit earlier than what they said they were going to be. So we managed to leave the van. And Helen's dad, who'd met us in Sheffield, drove us back, and there wasn't any traffic, and there wasn't any snow because it had been snowing heavily around Sheffield as well. So we got back, but you know, the problems didn't end there because we got back home, and I thought, okay, right, I think I can make this. A little bit late, but I think I can make it. And we were just about to get out of the car, and Helen said, "Oh no, the house keys were in the van." So,
oh my God, you're joking.
I know, mate. It was just like, well, really? That this has happened? But yes, they are in the van. So we then had to drive round to Helen's mum and dad's house, which fortunately isn't very far away, get their keys because they have a spare set of keys for if they need to come in. And then get back here. Obviously, we got back in the house. And yeah, literally, we just threw all the bags and everything in. They're still down in the hallway. Kids are getting themselves ready for bed, and I'm doing this, so I, you know, obviously I know where my priorities lie.
Well, indeed, you're not going to let the geeks down, so we appreciate it. So I'm glad you got back. Sorry you've had a bit of a shit day.
Yeah,
well, I'm sure you had a good day until the end of it, by the sounds of it. But have you had? We're obviously starting a bit late, so we won't spend too long on this. But have you had a good week? Other than that, has it all been good?
Yeah, I've had cool. A good week. Yeah, it's been nice. It's been nice. Yeah, yeah. No complaints, but I don't think anything particularly different or crazy to report. I don't think steady away week.
Obviously, you had a YouTube live dedicated to your success, which we will get onto later. So that was quite an event.
I was completely comfortable with that. Yeah,
it was like the YouTube equivalent of This Is Your Life. So we'll get onto that later. But yes, I've. Just to wrap this little bit up, this that we do, I've had an alright week. I've done a bit of travelling this week, so I was down in Kent earlier in the week, which was nice. I think I might be travelling a bit more this week again. So it's I think it's a bit fucking cold for getting out and about. It's quite nice to be all snuggly, isn't it? But anyway, let's snuggle
time of year, definitely.
Yeah, let's move things forward just for the sake of time.
Let's push into the arse, I think.
So let's push hard and fast into the arse.
Yeah, and we'll be quick about this as well. I don't think we need to linger on the arse too much.
No, I mean, I don't like to neglect the arse, but yeah, we can't spend too much time on it. But right, Ko-fi's, as you guys know, ko-fi.com/thescentgeeks, all one word. Buy us a coffee, we'd appreciate it. Anton has done that. So he is a friend of the show. He's been a long-time supporter of all our work, and he's contributed numerous times, so big shout out to Anton. He has bought us a coffee, and he says, really enjoying the guests you've had on the pod recently. The Mr. Smelly episode is one of my favourites yet, so well done to Mr. Smelly. I guess he's stolen the crown of Anton's favourites. So also, when people say, I've got a sort of dichotomy of emotion when people say love having the guests on, because it's kind of good that we're doing it and they're enjoying the episode, but also it's kind of like, yeah, we enjoy hearing from other people and not you two fuckers. So it's kind of... But anyway, Anton has asked a question. He said, I think you're going to be able to help out on this one, Chris. I'm after cool. A dark chocolate / cacao fragrance that's masculine smelling and not too sweet / gourmandish. Any recommendations? It's the caveat at the end, the not too sweet / gourmandish. That is...
Yeah.
Trying to get that fine line of a
I mean, Louis
cacao.
Cardin's Sacred is always a chocolate one for me that stands out, but it is quite sweet. I don't think you can get a chocolate fragrance that isn't...
hard, isn't it?
I mean, there's Black Orchid, that's quite chocolatey and cacao-y, but maybe... I mean, you know, Black Orchid Parfum, it's got that rum note, so maybe that leans a little more mask than the original Black Orchid, so perhaps that's an option... what else? By Killian's Black Phantom, that's got a nice little bit of chalk in it. Again, bit of boozy rum, some caramel. That is quite gourmand, but it's a good one for the winter. Black Phantom's great. I've smelled that on myself and various other people, and it always smells so good. So that is definitely one of my favourite chocolate fragrances. But there you go. There's three options off the top of my head. There might be some better ones that I've got, but I don't know. With 500 fragrances, it's difficult to. I should, you know, people say you should put them. Fuck you. People say you should put them on Fragrantica. People put all the collections on Fragrantica, but I feel like I'm exposing myself a little bit doing that. Would you want to do that? I don't want everyone to know exactly what's in my collection, really. Do you?
I just couldn't be arsed.
No, that's it. Yeah. Imagine how long it would take me.
Yes, that's a lot of effort. But then you do also get some people. It's a bit weird because I've had that a few people ask me that a few times. Like, how many fragrances have you got? How many fragrances? And it feels a little bit like they're almost trying to judge my credibility. Like, if you haven't got enough, then you shouldn't. Do you know what I mean? It's almost like... Yeah. So it's a bit of a funny one because I sell a lot of mine.
You do always show your fragrances on camera, though, Steve. And I mean, I don't think everyone in you know, not all fragrance reviewers do that. Do they? Mm,
true.
That's another discussion for another day.
Yeah, but I think some people review from samples or they'll just smell it.
Yeah, they smelt it on a test strip 6 months ago and can mention it in a video and give a rating out of 10.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's what you need to do. So the only fragrance that not the only fragrance, but one that came to mind when you said the cacao is Emporio Armani Diamonds. It's one of obviously my faves. That's very strong in cacao. So it's not too... It sounds almost like a contradiction, but it's not too chocolatey because the cacao, there's a bit of spice in there. So there's the cacao in there, so you get that vibe, but it's kind of got a bit of spice in it as well. And it's not too sweet because of it. The spice kind of balances out some of that cacao vibe. So if you've not smelt it, give it a whiff. Obviously, as everybody knows, that is one of the sort of main fragrances that kind of my gateway fragrance, really, that sort of got me into like thinking, damn, this smells good. I want to smell more things that smell good. So yeah, maybe give that a vibe. There's a few flankers as well. There's Emporio Armani, the Black Carrot as well, which is a little bit more masculine, I think, as well. So that might be worth a look.
Yeah. I'm also going to mention Galleria Parfums Victorian Tobacco because that actually, I can't remember if chocolate is an official note in that, but as George the Fragrance Apprentice says, and I really, as soon as he said this, I thought, yes, you're bang on with that, mate. It's sort of got this chocolate liqueur vibe. You know, sometimes at Christmas you have the chocolates with just liquid, whatever liqueur it is inside it. Victorian tobacco makes me think of that. Obviously, you've got some tobacco in there, but I think it's actually got British gin, but it does sort of smell a little bit like one of those alcoholic chocolates. And it's not too sweet either. It's definitely not too sickly sweet, that fragrance. I love it. It's my favourite from Galleria. It's great.
Oh, just thought of another one that I always get a almost like a phantom chocolatey vibe. So it's not too sweet. Mm-hmm. I don't think chocolate's listed. Is Bulgari's Man in Black Essence. It's actually a fragrance we've mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I think, when George was on, actually. I don't think there's chocolate. So it's I've had a quick look here. No, there's no chocolate listed. There's spices, rum, flowers, musk, oriental notes, resin, kayak wood. But for some reason, I get like this sort of phantomy, subtle chocolatey vibe to it.
Yeah.
So it's not. So it's because of it possibly being a phantom note. It's not too sweet, but and I'm not the only person. I think it might be Jon Snow or somebody else said they sort of can get that vibe as well. So yeah, that might be worth a look as well. It's a
Tom
a very
Ford
masculine.
Noir de Noir, like chocolatey chocolate roses.
Oh, mate, we're on a
Turkish
fucking
delight.
Roll now, aren't
I
we?
Look at that, banging out the chocky frags, aren't we?
God, we were struggling.
Alexandria Fragrances Cacao Dreams. That one gets a lot of love.
Oh mate, let's just do an episode on chocolate fragrances. Let's do this. Anyway,
cacao geeks.
Yes. So thank you, Anton. We do appreciate your coffee and your question. Thank you. That's the only coffee. Chris, has there been any reviews?
Steve, we have reviews. We have two reviews.
Excellent.
Okay. The first one is from Mo in Brooklyn. Okay. He says, here we have two Englishmen who each have YouTube channels about fragrance. And once a week, they come together to compare notes. What you wearing? What's new? And a bit of what are the folks talking about on YouTube? Right, I'm going to just do normal voice.
I don't know if that is offensive or not. I don't know if that's going to just offend someone that's taken the time to write a review. I can't decide.
Hey, thanks, Mo from Brooklyn. Appreciate it. I'm going to carry on reading in my normal voice. I enjoy learning about fragrances, and this informed chat is entertaining and enjoyable. They do wind up taking diversions from time to time.
Understatement.
Talking about family life, the pressures of fatherhood, husbandhood. Yeah, well, I think he means moaning, and other passions.
Therapy.
They have, they have good relationships with other Fragcon personalities who, from time to time, drop in to chat too. There we go. And that's
excellent.
Mo. If I didn't say that's Mo in Brooklyn, in the United States of America.
God, I just don't know how I feel about that accent.
Forget about it.
Well, there was another review, was there?
Oh, sorry, I forgot about that one, yeah. No, I can't do an accent for this, you'll be pleased to know. So
is this someone from Africa? This is going to end the podcast.
So I think it's someone from Scotland. He says, perfume fragrance podcasts tend to have a short life cycle. It's great to be able to keep up on the industry with a podcast. This podcast is blended well, diffusive, and hopefully will have great longevity. There we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's just take a moment to enjoy the voiceover work of Mr. Chris Wilkinson. Thank you. Thank you. Get that man booked. Get that man booked for your next advert. Excellent.
I think they were both. Sometimes you can't tell with the way they listed, but I think they're two recent reviews. But even if we've read them before, definitely not read them like that before. So
no, it was worth it. It's worth to re-listen. So thanks, guys. Thank you for reviewing. It does. We really appreciate it because basically I think the interaction kind of we have peaks and troughs really. Sometimes some weeks we get loads of reviews and things, and other weeks it goes a bit quiet. So sometimes we wonder if you guys are still out there. So it's really nice to sort of hear from you and get some reviews. So thank you, we do really appreciate it.
Maybe that's a new thing. Maybe I should pick a different accent each week to read reviews. No, I can't.
Gotcha. Probably see how long we last before we get any complaints. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, as you sort of just went, I'll just sort of, if we're moving on into, I think that's all of the arse, isn't it? If we're moving on to what we've been wearing. Yeah. I've not got too much to report. So this, I say this every week, really, because I've not tried anything new. I've not bought anything new. So, Marley Co. Perfumo, I enjoyed that. Yesterday, I've reached for a fragrance that I've not reached for a while, which is Bulgari's Man Extreme. That's just a really nice fresh note, quite a fresh, manly fragrance. I really enjoy that. It's a bit unique because it's got cactus accord in there, which is a bit different to the usual citrusy vibes that you often get in those fresher fragrances.
For those who love a little prick.
Hey, indeed, that's my vibe. And I'm just, I think that's nothing overly weird or wonderful to report, to be honest. Jean-Paul Gaultier's Scandal, really enjoyed that as per usual. So what about you, Chris? What you been wearing? Anything? You typically wear sort of newer stuff than me because you get constantly testing and content creating. So what's been going on?
Yeah, well, I've done sort of a mishmash of testing this week, which is kind of a bit of a blur. So I can't really just off the top of my head pick out things, but I did really enjoy. I've been discovering a little more of Auto Parisi because we're obviously selling those on Lux Parfum. So So I really wanted to learn more about those fragrances because my business partner really enjoys them, and so that's why we got them on the site. And I thought, I want to see if I really enjoy them. So I wore Sturcus, which is they don't release the notes, but a lot of people seem to think it's a tobacco-y fragrance, maybe a little bit of incense, maybe sort of similar vibes to Black Afghano from Nasmato, which is of course the all under the same guy, Alessandro Gottieri. Creative, rich, deep, bold statement making type of scent. Sturcus is great. And then Spice Bomb Extreme, mate, got its first outing.
I saw that on Instagram. I saw that.
It's just a beauty. And that one is that's one of the first full price, full retail fragrances I went into a department store and bought when I was starting my YouTube channel. Mainly because Jeremy and the girls had sort of, put the idea into my head, so I went and purchased that. So it reminds me, I've got lots of emotions of the excitement of starting my YouTube channel all tied up in that, in the smell of Spice Mom Extreme. And it's great in the cold, obviously, beautiful smell. And after the question on last week's podcast that we did with Dan, I went in to a retailer that sells Tom Ford fragrances. Fumé was not on sale, but they had a bottle and they gave me a spray on a strip on my hand, and it's great. I love
it. Rushed home and you got on Instagram.
Content. And it's great. It's it's like it's an incensey, woody fragrance. It's sort of got that a bit of like that. I describe it. I don't know if people get this, but it's got a bit of that musty, dusty type of woody smell to it. I don't know if that's a combination of the incense and musks and the wood, but it's very much along the lines of the discontinued Tom Ford Sahara Noir, which I love. My friend's got a couple of bottles, and I've had a sample, which I ran through pretty quickly. But that's a great fragrance. Many people mourn its discontinuation. But maybe I'd I don't know if it's exactly the same. I'd have to compare them side by side, but it certainly, to me, reminds me of it very much. So maybe it's sort of the new Sahara Noir. And the bottle looks really cool because it's a private blend, but a cheaper private blend. I think we're looking at about, in this country, about 170, 175 for 50 mil. So it's not in that higher priced bracket that Effing Fabulous and a few of the others were in. But I liked it. I'm seriously considering picking up a bottle of that because it's very me. I would wear it. And like I say, I've been trying to get hold of Sahara Noir for a while. Silly prices on eBay, so I'm not doing that. So maybe Eben Fumé will be the one I will get.
Okay, that's interesting. Good to get your insight on that one, mate.
Yeah,
that.
Cool. So that's what I've been wearing. Shall we go into what we've been watching? And you've seen anything interesting this week?
Yes. Well, I saw a few things. I saw a live on Friday night from Nigel, yeah. 2 cents worth. And there was
right.
some...
Is it any good?
Some the host was good, but the guest was a bit well end. But it was, of course, so Nigel dedicated a live to your good self and your successes. Success and Truth, he called it. So it's a good 3 hours, wasn't it? Another short
one. We did good 3 hours. Yeah, concise. Yep. To
nice,
the point.
Short, snappy, concise yep. lives. That's how YouTubers in the Fragcom do yeah. lives. They rarely peak that sort of 7 hour mark. It's just, but yeah, but that was good. It was good. So obviously Nigel took he sort of almost publicised it as an interview of two halves, didn't he? So there was sort of a sort of celebration and a kind of bit more of a positive, you know,
light and dark.
Yeah, and then he sort of did declare a few times that he was going to go a bit Piers Morgan on you in the second half and start asking a few tricky questions. And
yeah, he got brutal, didn't he?
Bring up some controversies or whatever. So did you enjoy it?
You know, I got to say, those 3 hours just went like lightning. I couldn't believe it. We were having a drink. We're enjoying it. I was just enjoying having a chat. Nigel's a great guy. I love chatting to Nigel. And when you're just chatting to someone that obviously you're enjoying spending time with, the time goes fast. I remember I looked at my clock on the computer and it was 10:30. We started at 9:00. I was like, I felt like we'd been going seriously about 10 minutes at that point and we'd gone an hour and a half. So I thought, at that point, I thought, yeah, this is going on for a while. Because initially Nigel said, I think we're going to go to about 10:30. So we finished in time for Dan starting his podcast. But
and that was like halfway through. Yeah,
I know.
Literally,
I know.
We were only getting to the halfway stage. Yeah. But I guess it's kind of like what we do here. Sometimes it's easy when you're chatting to a mate, you can just go off on one, can't you, and sort of just go off on a tangent, really. So
definitely,
that's the thing. But it's funny because of that live, and then I think you and Nigel both sort of joined in the chat as well, Mr. Smelly's live. So then I sort of did the same, and in the end that was going on, and I didn't watch the end. I sort of came out, and I must admit, as much as I enjoyed the lives, particularly there was some lovely chat going on. There's a really nice bunch in Nigel's live, so we were all sort of chatting and messing around, and I was sort of Lizzie from is it Rosen? I can't remember her
Rosen Jones.
Yes, that's the one. She was a bit pissed, so I was sort of jokingly flirting with her and stuff in the chat, which was quite funny. So we was all having some good banter in the chat, so it was quite.
Yeah,
nice,
no one was listening to me and Nigel. We were just all having
yeah,
a good
we were just
bit of
all just
chat,
like
yeah.
a big social. But because the thing, so as much as I enjoyed that, I did that live. Then I watched some of Dan's, and then it was like, I think it was like fucking 1 a.m. or something, and I did briefly think. Have I wasted an evening? I've just sat in front of YouTube like all evening watching lives. Yeah. Like Jesus Christ!
Four hours.
But it was
hours.
Good. Like, yeah, it was.
Well, I said to you, didn't I? Live streams are like black holes; they just devour time. And anyone who does them knows. Like, I mean, sometimes what killers are 5 hours plus.
Yeah, oh, it just goes crazy. It's just crazy. Joey Cannoli's the same as well. It's just mad. So yeah, there's a couple of things that sort of brought up on the live. We won't kind of sort of dwell on it and repeat too much. But well, I asked a question because they were sort of looking into how many videos you've done. I don't know if you've done one since the live, but it was 571 yeah. videos on your Fragmental channel.
Yeah,
it's mad,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it was 400 and something last time I sort of actually did check the number. Yeah, but that was crazy. Yeah, that was a little while ago. 571. Wow.
So I actually asked a question. So when Nigel was on a toilet break, he kind of left you in the lurch. So so we were sort of the audience were asking you some questions, weren't they? So I actually asked about which video were you most proud of out of those 571, and the one that sort of you sort of came to mind was the collaboration collab you did with George, obviously, and the Neanderthal fragrances where you sort of played each other. So that was, so that yeah, I remember that. That was so weird watching those Neanderthal videos. You should probably just explain the concept if anybody's not watched them and they might want to sort of
go and search. So Neanderthal had two fragrances, and George and I were planning, when we met in Milan a couple of years ago, we were planning on working on something together, and George actually came up with the idea of, he said, oh, you know this brand Neanderthal, they have a light and a dark fragrance, why don't we do something like that, where and then it just snowballed into this, oh yeah, and we can play each other and we can sort of meet in alternate universes and then switch back to our real selves, and it will make it all weird and artistic. And I don't know if Fradcom's sort of ready for that, or if Fradcom really gives a shit about stuff like that, but we enjoyed it, and creatively that was probably the most rewarding, because we zipped all over the country. We filmed some up on the on the moors of Yorkshire and back at my house, and then the next day we went down to London, to Barnet, to film a medieval battle reenactment. So, we threw a good variety of stuff that we worked really hard to get up on screen. And that was sort of me and George really getting to know how each other ticked in terms of creating content. And so I obviously got lots of happy memories tied into that. So a great, great video artistically and creatively, and in terms of the production. But there's a few that I was proud of, and one that I didn't mention because it's hard to always remember everything off the top of your head. But one that I am really proud of was the clone video that I did, where I created this clone of myself, clone Chris. Yeah. And sometimes I think, oh man, did that have to be a clone video? Because obviously it doesn't get as many views, and everyone likes watching things about clones. But it sort of had to be for that character, for the clone character. That was the whole point. But that took a lot of time and effort and planning, and the shoot for that was difficult, because when I was filming it, I didn't know if I was going to get anything that would work after. So you're like taking a massive risk, because you're filming all that stuff, like both halves of a conversation, and you don't know if it's going to slot together until you get into the edit. So there's that real feeling of, man, has this been a waste of a day? And then the feeling when you get into the edit and you slot it together and get the timings right and just tweak things a little bit, you're like, oh yeah, that's kind of works and I like it. So that was such hard work, took such a lot of planning. I don't think anyone else has ever done that on Fradcom YouTube videos. So that's another one that I was, but there's quite a few that I've been really proud of. Some of the vloggy ones again as well. But yeah.
Well, sometimes it's those vloggy ones. I've always said this is, sometimes I'm most proud of the sort of edit heavy ones, but actually like when something's edited, can have really heavy edit, but actually if it's done well, you don't notice the edit.
Yes,
that's exactly the skill in it. I've always said that it's like you're really good at that, and some of the best. And I sent you a YouTube channel earlier in the week, didn't I? I said the production on this, it was a tech review channel, but it's like the production is phenomenal, where there's a loads of editing goes into it, but you just don't notice the editing because it's all so smooth and flawless that it just adds to that viewing experience, and you sort of watch it and go, that was really good to watch, and you almost don't know why, because if you're not an editor, you don't appreciate all the stuff that goes into it. So sometimes it's those little things that kind of go into it. I remember one of the videos I'm most proud of on my channel, it's a really shit one, but it was the guy as such, but it was the guys at Talk and Review tagged me to do a B-roll movie. So it's just a video of just purely B-roll, and it was all these B-roll transitions between fragrances and stuff, and I'd never done anything like that before, so it took me ages, and I was still like trying different things and edits, and I had to get some music to go over it, and it was just all this different, literally just B-roll of all these different fragrance bottles. But because I'd never done it before and it was a quite new venture for me, I was like really proud of it because it looked all right at the end. I was like, and I knew it was half decent because my wife watched it and she was like, did you do that? I was like, yeah. She's like, oh wow, that's actually pretty good. And it was like, okay, that must have been half decent if she's kind of feels the need to sort of say that, even though it was quite a subtle compliment. So
yeah, definitely. I think there are two types of editing, aren't there? There's the very showy, flashy editing, all the the fancy stuff you can do with the camera and graphics on screen, but then there's editing which is sort of that is facilitating the story or the narrative of the video and pushing that forward, but done in a smooth way, a little cut here, a little little, you know, a little bit of B-roll there, a little insert there, that is all, like you say, all done so seamlessly that you just enjoy just letting this lovely little video sort of flow over you.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're not sort of dazzled by it, you know? But if you know, like you say, if you know about editing, you go, yeah, that is really well done. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing now. And I think a lot of people, and it's the same, I guess the same with anything. You could like appreciate mountain bikers when someone's really good, where if you're just a layperson watching it, you just go, well, yeah, he's all right, but you almost can't appreciate. And it's the same with anything, like I can sort of play the drums, so if I watch a band, I'm watching the drummer, I'm not watching the front man or the lead guitarist, I'm watching the guy at the back on the drums shredding, and I'm like in awe. And it's the same, like, you know, salsa and all this stuff, I watch people and it's like, where I think a layperson might either not appreciate it, or they might think that someone's better than they are. But if you're good at something, you'll be like, no, they're not quite as good as you think, it just looks showy or whatever. So you get a different appreciation when you've got a sort of deeper knowledge of it anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
Just to really sort of plug you and your content lately, another video I watched, I was just looking on what I've been watching this week on YouTube, and I watched the video you did with Aaron on Perfumer Rates. Obviously that's quite a popular series, that it started a long time ago. I think it was really sort of what brought Aaron into everybody's sort of conscious, really, with the sort of Perfumer Rates videos. So you got him to rate more cheapies, and he didn't know they were cheapies, did he, when he was just sort of smelling them blind. So
which was
so
a criticism that people gave me on that first cheapies video, was actually he should sort of not have known that they would.
I see.
So he didn't know this time. He didn't know
what
it
was. Quite interesting, because he, you know, obviously he's this is what he does. So he kind of started saying, like, quite early on, he smelt a cup and he was like, he's like, if these are sort of more than 100 quid, I'll be surprised. And he started kind of realizing, he's like, that doesn't smell high quite. He started kind of recognizing them quite early on.
He sussed them out, didn't he?
But there was one that I just found quite interesting, was the Burberry London. Because although he sort of didn't like the fragrance, but he said purely because he just doesn't like green fragrances, that's not his thing, he was sort of quite in awe of it. He was really impressed. It was quite fascinating to see. Because we've said this before as a reviewer, and people say it's a cop-out sometimes, you're not being honest, or you're sort of pulling your punches when you say, you know, I can appreciate this is really good, or it's well done, but it's just not my thing, it's not my cup of tea, it's not my bag, you know, I'm not into fusées or whatever. And people think, oh, you're just softening the punches there, you're just kind of being nice. And where actually he kind of did that, but from a technical level, he went one step further, well, probably quite a few steps further, because he's obviously a lot more informed as a perfumer. He was smelling Burberry London, and it was like, to start with, it's quite fascinating, because he's almost a bit confused, because he was like, he didn't like it, but he was also like really intrigued and impressed by it. And then he started kind of going like, no, this is not my thing, but this is really well done. This is takes some skill to do this. It's like, to get that soapiness and the greenness, and to get that smelling like that, he said, that takes some skill. And it was just fascinating, because you could see that he was genuinely intrigued and really interested and sort of fascinated by this fragrance that he didn't like, but he was impressed by. It was just
it's always interesting to talk to Aaron, get his opinion on things. I love it.
Yeah, I just sort of really enjoyed that, because it, like I say, it just took that one step further from where we go, oh, I don't really enjoy it, but I appreciate that it's well done, where he could actually break it down, and he explained sort of why, and he's obviously did his usual and sort of said some of the things they might have done to do it, but he was actually saying that technically takes a lot of skill to do that, and he was really impressed by it. So it was quite interesting. And there was a few there as well that it was sort of surprised me, kind of you had Bentley for Men Intense, which is interesting, because that often gets, people often say that is sort of niche quality, don't they? But he sort of could tell that it wasn't quite, he sort of said it was sort of quite good and it's quite rich, but it wasn't high-end sort of thing. So it's quite interesting, again, to get that informed nose on the situation. So
it's interesting, because a lot of people, like, I think that does smell quite high-end, actually.
I do, but, yeah, I do. I think it smells certainly higher-end than its price point, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But again, I guess he's coming from a more informed place, isn't he? So,
Speaking of videos on my channel, Steve, I just want to mention something a little bit interesting that I've noticed this week. So I dropped, in the last couple of weeks, I dropped two autumn videos, okay? Yes. And anyone who watches them or makes autumn or any sort of list video content will know that generally the designer fragrance videos are going to get more views. just simply because the masses are more interested in designer fragrances. So I dropped my I decided this year I was going to do a bit different, and my designer fragrance autumn video was not me talking about them, but it was me asking women on the street to rate them. And I'm, you know, going to be completely honest, that video was sort of feeding the algorithm. It was definitely designed and engineered to get the views, to have women rate designer fragrances on the street, street style, which people always love. I thought this could go big. This could be a big video. Right, currently looking now, it's on 10,000 views, and I posted that 2 weeks ago. And about a week after that, I posted a video called 10 Stunning Autumn Fragrances I Can't Stop Wearing. So that was essentially a niche fragrance video, but it wasn't sort of, I didn't approach it as this is my top 10 niche fragrances. They were literally 10 fragrances that I have been really loving wearing so far this autumn that sort of by accident, but on purpose, happened to be niche fragrances. So it was like a disguised niche list, if you like, but
sneaky.
But I thought, why do I need to put I'm going to be honest, it didn't occur to me to put niche in the title of this one. In the past, I have dodged the niche title on purpose, but for this one, I sort of just did it and did the title because it all felt natural. And it wasn't until afterwards and that people started leaving comments that I thought, oh yeah, it is. They are all niche. And people were saying, oh, if you'd have put niche in the title, I wouldn't have clicked. You need to put niche in the title. And people sort of enforcing...
you deceived them.
Yeah, they feel deceived. But people are enforcing this need to have to say they are niche fragrances. Well, what is a niche fragrance? I know we talk about designer niche all the time because it's just an easy way to break things up. But really, a fragrance is a fragrance. And... you know, if you go into a department store, Selfridges don't have a niche section and a designer section. They're all together. They're just all fragrances together. But some people cannot bring themselves to watch niche content. And I find it, it gets to me a little bit, which is why I sort of bump up against that concept. So what do you think about it?
Because we often say about niche snobs, but you've got the reverse, isn't it? It's like reverse snobbery, where people don't want to be, they write off niche because it's like, no, I'm not pompous. It's almost like a class thing, isn't it? Where sort of working class people are kind of like, no, I'm not a middle upper class. That screw that. It's kind of, you know, I know my roots. I'm a designer boy. It's kind of, and I sort of jokingly say, you know, I'm a basic bitch and stuff like that. But obviously, two of my favourite fragrances of all time are categorised as niche. So, it is funny. I think some people write it off unnecessarily.
I
do think coming from as a layperson, because I sort of like to think I'm just a normal person that just likes smelling things and smelling good. I think from a psychological, possibly in the marketing point of view, I think designer fragrances are more approachable and digestible just in the marketing. I don't know if it's brand familiarity, you've sort of heard of, you know, Yves Saint Laurent, you've heard of Christian Dior or whatever, so there's some sort of familiarity, so you go into it feeling a bit more comfortable. And with the brand, obviously you've seen them advertised on TV and billboards, and you just feel like it's not as daunting. Where I think you go into niche and they're like, oh, this is from whatever house, and this is, and you're like, you've never heard of it, and then this is a name you've never heard of, and you're like, oh, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing here.
It's familiarity,
it's a bit daunting, maybe, and I think people just, I think they almost don't want to dip their toe in, or they just find that a bit daunting, and they just can't be bothered with it, or they just don't want to, maybe, I don't know. Or
I think there is, and this is largely true, that niche fragrances a lot of the time are more expensive than designer fragrances, but not exclusively. And that is a big thing that why people don't want to start looking into niche fragrances is because of the cost. But, and I've done videos about this, that some niche fragrances can be the same price, if not cheaper, than some designer fragrances. And if I put a video out there that doesn't have niche in the title, someone who wouldn't normally click on a niche video clicks on it, maybe just maybe discovers a fragrance, a niche fragrance that is within their price range that they sound like they might be interested in, they might try and they might discover and really enjoy it. But if I'd have put niche, they would never have had the opportunity to discover something new that isn't designer. So that's my sort of whole thing. It's like, well, you know, they're just fragrances. And if you love fragrances, then, you know, why not watch this video about some fragrances that maybe you've not tried before? Maybe broaden your horizons. Maybe don't be so narrow-minded about, oh, no, it's only designers because they're cheaper. It's not the case. Not always the case. And also, you know, if you're into fragrances, don't you want to maybe enjoy listening to someone say why they love certain fragrances so much, even if you're maybe not going to buy those fragrances? I don't know. I'm sure some people think like that.
I mean, I don't know if you've ever done this, but video idea, you need to do, we could sort of test this a little bit. You could do a, these niche fragrances are cheaper than designer ones or cost less than a designer fragrance or something. You could do basically a video of top five, you know, cheap niche fragrances, if you see what I mean. You could somehow do it to see if sort of trying to take away the cost thing, to see if you get more clicks and more people are interested in the niche video if they know they can afford them. They're sort of cheaper.
Yeah, I've done something along those lines. Yeah, sorry, mate. I've done something along those lines where I sort of did compare the prices, but it wasn't exactly what you said, sort of, you know, top five niche fragrances that are cheaper than designer fragrances. I'm going to take that, mate. I'm going to
okay, <I'll> take
thank
that.
You very much.
I'll take a little percent of the AdSense. But yeah, I mean, one of the ones that I sort of quite like, I remember when I reviewed some of them, was like the Kieran NYC fragrances. They're like £65 or something. So totally in the sort of designer price bracket. But I just love the sort of marketing, the design of the bottles, and then the fragrances smell really good as well. So again, as a sort of gateway niche or entry, that like there's no reason why people that are, you know, are typically designer people should write those off, because they're very approachable. The notes are breakdown and the packaging all very clear. You kind of know what you're getting into, what smells of what, and they're sort of affordable, and I think the bottles are really cool as well, which kind of adds to the experience. There's one you can include in there, at least one of their fragrances.
You know, Gallivant, £65 a bottle, isn't it? And I know that they're just 30ml bottles. I think they're starting to do larger ones, actually. But yeah, 65 for 30ml. I mean, what's Tom Ford Ombre Leather? That's 80-odd pounds, £80 for 50ml. So, I mean, you know, there's not really, there's not a lot of difference in price there. If, you know, and like I said, some niche are often cheaper. But yeah.
There you go.
I will keep flying the flag. I will die on my hill for niche fragrances not always being more expensive.
Well, I look forward to seeing that video drop as well. So that'd be cool to see. Cool. Right. How are we doing for time?
I think we can start to bring things to a close. Have we? My day's been a bit of a fail today. Have we got any other failures we can bring podcast to a close?
Well, I do. So I've got a fragrance fail that has been submitted. It was somebody that actually sent us in a little tip or something a few weeks ago. It was Harry Drew. But so thank you, Harry, for submitting this. I'm going in on blind on this. This is a blind buy because I've not read this. So apologies, Harry. I've only realised I didn't even reply to you. So he submitted it, and I've literally sort of reading it. Teed up for this podcast. I've realised I didn't even reply and acknowledge it. So sorry about that, mate. I've just sent him a little thumbs up as a thank you. So I've not read this yet. So this, I'm going in blind. So the only trouble is sometimes if you don't read it ahead of you sort of might stumble or miss some of the pauses in the right place. But Harry Drew sent us in. I know it's a fragrance fail because I read the first line that said, "You said you like getting sent failures or successes. Well, here's one for you." So here it goes. So this is a fragrance fail, I assume, from Harry Drew that I've not read before, which probably isn't wise because I'm not the best reader. So apologies if I stumble over my words, but let's see how we get on. So hopefully there's nothing that we need to edit out afterwards, but here we go. So as I said, he said, "You said you like scent failures or successes. Well, here's one for you. First, let me explain. I work in a very small atmosphere, helping roast gourmet coffee. There you go, I've started already. Helping roast gourmet coffee. I also work with a group of guys that don't have a filter." So I assume he means
not a coffee filter.
I assume he means they just say how it is. He's not talking about a coffee filter.
Not filter papers, no.
Yeah, exactly. So he works with a few guys that don't have a filter. "I brought in a 3D resin print to show one of my co-workers. This is where it went bad, LOL. He asked me if that resin went bad because it smelled awful. I smelled it and it didn't smell like anything to me. Then I caught a whiff of my arm and wondered if he was smelling the green Irish tweed I was wearing.
Oh no, it was GIT.
Oh, no. So I told him to smell my arm to see if that's what he was smelling. He said, "Damn, that smells like fox piss," when mixing with the smell of coffee in the air. He said, "I should never wear that fragrance again. But I'm his boss, so you know I'm going to wear it now to spite him." Love it. Crazy thing is, he loves the smell of Thierry Mugler, Angel Man. I have a love-hate relationship with that fragrance. To me, it smells like I spilled a vanilla frappe on myself while doing a burnout in a sports car. Ha, ha, ha. Just blows my mind how he can like the smell of burnt rubber and vanilla coffee, but can't stand green Irish tweed, and it smells like fox piss to him. I think that was my first negative comment I've ever had with green Irish tweed. I imagine fox piss is cheaper than green Irish tweed on the upside. And how the hell does he know what it smells like? Who does he think he is anyway? David Attenborough. And then he's done more laughing. P.S. Thanks for the great podcast. You guys rock. Cheers. So thank you for that.
Well, at least fox piss has sort of a countryside association, like green Irish tweed is supposed indeed. To have. But yeah, how does he know what fox piss smells like? And is it any different to cat piss or dog piss? What's the difference?
We've said this, but obviously it's so subjective, and it's amazing how fragrances can vary person to person. I mean I was sort of a bit skeptical when I used to see people say that, you know, oh, it varies with skin chemistry and things like that, but I know full well that I've smelt something on other people that I thought that smells really good, and then when I've worn it, it's like, oh, this just doesn't smell as nice. It's just kind of, or vice versa, you know, I've sort of jokingly commented that for whatever reason Mont Blanc Explorer is a compliment maggot, but it seems to work well for me as well. I seem to get very good responses from it when I'm wearing it, and you do just get that, and it is subjective. Some people will love a fragrance, and then you go in thinking, oh, you might go on a date with someone and oh, they'll love a fragrance. So if for whatever reason it doesn't work out, you go on another date, you'll wear that again, and they'll be like, oh, I'm not really feeling that. So it's yeah, totally subjective, isn't it?
Yeah, but let's not forget that that is the smell he gets when green Irish tweed combines with coffee. So yeah, like the bitterness of the coffee beans could have sort of combined, and
that
the,
is very true,
the molecules could have mixed to create something that wasn't so pleasant smelling.
Yeah, so that is very true.
Perhaps GIT outside of the coffee roasting room would have smelled a lot better than inside it, but you know, because it's, I mean, a good smelling fragrance.
Of course, it's renowned for being a good smelling fragrance, popular, and some people might say it's a, you know, a bit more mature, but I think nobody's really ever said that it smells bad. They might, that's normally the most negative you get. There's like, yeah, it's fresh, it's clean, it just smells a bit more sort of mature or whatever. That's probably the most, not many people actively dislike it or say that it smells like fox piss, do they? So
yeah,
but anyway, thank you, Harry, for supporting the podcast and sending that in.
Yeah, thank you, Harry. Yeah, I actually don't own green Irish tweed. I quite
really?
Like it.
I'm surprised by that.
I know, yeah. I feel like I should, just because it's green Irish tweed, but I don't know if it's because of the associations with cool water.
I was going to say, you've got cool water, haven't you?
Yeah, or if it's just one... I mean, I think it smells better than cool water, but course, I still have that, you know, associations with that sort of profile. But I just think there are other creeds. It's down my list of creeds. I know it's on the top of many people's list of creeds, but it's not one that I sort of feel compelled to pick up. I just don't know how often I would wear it, really, but maybe, I don't know, maybe, I've only ever had samples and things, so maybe if I actually got a bottle and gave it some proper full-on wearings and really got to, you know the fragrance on a more intimate level, perhaps I would enjoy it more. But you know, maybe I'll have to get it at one, because it's GIT in it. I've got to have a bottle of that.
Yeah, but you sort of need
day.
To really.
Yeah.
There you go. If any loved ones of Chris are listening, that might be a good Christmas present coming up. So there you go.
Yeah, get me a Christmas present of a fragrance that I kind of think is all right.
We've discussed this before, that when you're a fraghead, like, people very reluctantly will buy your fragrance because it's, A, they don't want to get something wrong, or they know you're a bit more fussy, or that you might already own it or whatever. So it's very difficult. So
I remember one year after I just started my channel, I had put Dior en Parfum on my Christmas list, and my mum said, "Have you just asked for this so you can do a review video on it? Or do you actually want it?"
You're like, well.
She doesn't talk like that, by the way. She did ask that question. I was like,
two birds, one stone.
Both, yeah, exactly. Yeah, both reasons, yeah. All right, I think we're sort of, we're ready to wrap up for this week, I think, Steve, aren't we?
Shall I say my goodbyes and then you could you can sort of sign us out?
Sure.
So thank you, everybody. Sorry, Jeremy, that you didn't get to be in this episode. We'll get you in another one soon. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And yeah, do keep sending in those fragrance files and the questions. We do love you all. And there was a lot of like nice and supportive comments across the various lives that went on this weekend with Nigel, Dan, Mr. Smellies and stuff regarding our podcast. So thank you to all those people that that are speaking highly of the podcast. It means a lot to us. So thank you.
Yes, cheers, Steve. I'm glad I was able to make it for the podcast. Don't forget to go to Kajal Perfume's Instagram page if you want to be in with a chance to win either a full bottle or a discovery set. All you got to do is share the post and follow the instructions on that post. You'll see it says the Scent Geeks on it, so you'll know which one it is. Just share that around. You got to tag some people. You know, do all the usual shiz you got to do with Instagram giveaways. And yeah, you might be a lucky winner. And if you are a lucky winner, let us know about it. Post in a Facebook group or somehow, you know, get in contact with us and let you know what you think of the fragrance that you won. It'd be lovely to hear from you. All right, well, yeah, it's been good. I'm glad I managed to battle through the Yorkshire snow to get here. I'm sorry that you didn't get to listen to Jeremy, but maybe we'll book him for another week. All right, we'll be here for you next week, geeks. Until then, have a week, geeks.
Bye.
Thank you.